You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable. We are a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is How We Get Down.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. We are having a good time even before we started recording. We've already tried this three different times, but we are around the roundtable today. Today is September 5th, 2019, NFL kickoff day.
It's not?
It's not? NFL kickoff today, guys! Yeah.
More excitement!
Woo! Who is it? Green Bay?
NFL
kick. I don't know who plays today, but
Green
NFL
Bay,
kicks
Chicago?
Off today.
Green Bay, Chicago.
September 5th, 2019. And around the round table today, I have Robert.
Hey!
The green shirt, Concepcion.
Hey!
Robert,
hey, from Manila.
Robert, say hello to our three people listening.
Well, there's five of us now, so there's got to be more.
Say hello to our wives.
Say hello to your wife listening.
And kids.
Hey, guys, I got to tell
family,
you.
How are you guys?
I got to tell you guys something, though. My daughter listened to the show, and then she
I'm gonna pray for her.
I know,
right
pray
now.
For pray for Sarah, my daughter, because she listened to the show because she says, "Oh, my dad has a podcast," so she listened to it, and then she narked me out with mom. She told mom
what does that mean?
Narc me
out. What
is
that?
Drop the dime.
What are you, ghetto?
Come on, guys.
Narc out.
Joe, tell him what that means.
Don't throw Joe under the bus. He's our producer.
Do not blame
him. He's our producer. We have another producer.
The past shouting at Marvin, narc me out.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So my daughter, Joe, tell him what that means.
He told him about what was going on.
Yeah, so my daughter.
Dropped the dime.
That's going to
be. Whoa.
What's going on here?
So my daughter went to my wife and she says, "Hey, Dad talked about you on the podcast and he says you never listened to it." And she got mad at me. And I said, "Well, do you listen?" She goes, "Well, no, but don't get mad at me then." So Sandra, I know you're listening. Thank you for listening. Sarah, thank you for listening.
Happy belated anniversary.
Yeah, right. All right. Next around
time,
the round table.
She will knock you out. Not just knock you
not
out.
Next time.
Not,
she knocked me out this time.
There you go,
around
man.
The round table podcast.
What does that mean?
Mom was going to knock you
out.
Robert, green shirt Concepcion. Say hello, Robert.
Hey, I said hello already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Let's get going.
We're going.
Dude, we gotta turn on the air. Sorry.
It's hot, Robert. Can we get some air? Producer, can we get some air?
That's the narc thing that got us all sweaty because we got sweaty. Sure what that was all about.
Around the round table, we also have Joseph Hall. Joseph's our guest speaker this morning.
Woo-hoo. Greetings and salutations, everyone.
We'll get to hear more from Joe in just a few minutes and get to hear your story, Joe, but welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to this
thank you very much.
Craziness.
Appreciate the invitation.
And I don't even know if I should mention you, but also around the roundtable.
Our producer?
As we have Jorge, don't call me Narc, Fernandez.
Wait. The myth, the legend, right?
The man, the myth, and the legend. Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, now, see? Well, this guy comes in with all kinds of energy. Then I introduce him, and then he comes in.
This is the third
morning.
One. This is the third time I used it up already. I need the music. All right, I'm putting my own music. This
There's no music. There's no music. Also, by the way, we have to pay copyrights for music, so don't play music. Also, the Tommy Walker
stuff.
Also, this morning, I'm super excited, guys, because for the first time ever, the Men's Ministry Roundtable podcast has its own producer.
Wow.
So, producer, hi.
We're moving up.
Good morning.
We're moving up. Now, typically, a producer would come early, set up the studio for you. We're in the fabulous CA studios that they've been created for us here.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
Otherwise known as Albert's office. Typically, a producer
beautiful would, downtown Eagle Rock.
Yeah, typically a producer would come in, set everything up, have the notes, have coffee, have donuts ready.
We don't have coffee.
Yeah,
we don't have
donuts. But tell me how much of that was secured by our producer.
I brought one bottle of water, which we can all share.
I had to set up my own equipment. What kind of talent am I? I had to set up my own mic.
What did you say when I was helping you with the equipment?
You never helped me with the equipment.
What were you saying?
I've been having diarrhea since Easter.
That was the last show. That was the last show. Anyway, I think we're going to call him the PP for short, the podcast.
What?
The podcast producer. He's our PP.
So we just.
It's PP Ruben.
PP Ruben is what we're going to call him.
PP's fine.
It's PP.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're censored. There goes 5 minutes. We'll never get back in our lives.
Expect, all right, so expect a letter from Albert.
Albert comes into my office this week. He goes, I think it's a good idea that you guys are doing a podcast, but do we really have to talk about Speedos?
Boy. Have we not gotten any kind of emails regarding that?
We did. We did get one email from the FCC. No emails. I actually got a text from a friend, Chris Robb, and he wanted to fire back and say that he agrees with me that Cody Bellinger is on the same level as Mike Trout. How about that?
Not even close.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate your text.
Not even close.
Come on, George.
No.
Come on.
No.
I know you don't like LA teams.
No, no.
Come on.
It's not. I don't like
Angels. You don't like Angels.
Yeah, but you don't like them. You just want to be a contrarian to my Dodgers, but that's all right. Cody Bellinger's having a great year.
Yes.
On every single statistical category. Yeah, that was last show. All right. Listen to the last show.
He just loves the Dodgers.
I do love the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, but still, you know, it's last show.
All right, but guys, if you want to send us any comments on the show, men@cachurch.com, our Facebook page, Men of CA at Facebook, and you can text me directly if you have my number. If not, I'll give you George's. It's 310. By the way, if you're a Dodger, a Laker fan, or any other LA sports fans, fire George an email and tell him how much you love LA sports, because he loves the Lakers.
Yes.
Speaking of that, oh, we'll get to Lakers soon. But guys, I also want you to help us spread the word on this podcast. We have 750 guys that have listened to our shows.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, 749 guys and then my daughter. So that's 749 and one female. Thank you, Sarah. But man, 750. We want to try to get to 1,000. So
yes.
Would you do us a favor? If you like the show and you're listening, would you text a friend and share with them the link to the show and say, hey, listen to these guys. They're crazy. And
warn them, those are 40 minutes you'll never have back.
Never have back.
If you have a long commute, if you're riding the train, if you have like a colonoscopy coming up, this is great stuff for that.
There you go. And if you're in a doctor's office, about to get your teeth pulled or something. Yeah.
You want to hear about a new PP?
If you want to interact with the PP, he's our new men's ministry intern. So he'll be around for 9 months, and he gets a whole lot of this for the next 9 months. Hey, so
That's discouraging.
Anything? Yeah.
Come on.
If
now.
You want to intern with us, this is what's coming. So what's happening in your lives? Anything of note? Anything fun that took place in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'll go first. Actually, my daughter Asia got engaged this weekend.
Hey!
So wow!
Congratulations, really cool. Asia!
Wow, yeah, wow, that wow. was really, really cool.
So tell us about that, Dad. How do you feel your daughter gets engaged?
Well, I'm excited for her. She's a gem, and her fiance is a really nice, God honoring young man. It's funny because he came to see me about 3 years ago or so when he wanted to date her, and he asked me if he could date her. So that was, you know, very respectful on his end.
Did you feel that was a proper way of going about it?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I did that with Lisa.
Oh, wow.
I talked to her dad, and even though Lisa was 30 years old, I talked to her dad. And I remember her dad said, because he's French, and he said, Josh, you don't have to ask me. She lives by herself. So that's kind of old-fashioned. But that was really, really cool. Then in, I think it was January of this year, he wanted to talk to me about telling me his intentions that he planned to marry her in the near term. And we wanted to discuss that.
Yeah.
And kinda, that was really cool. And then about a month ago, he wanted to meet with me and ask for my blessing because he wanted to ask her to marry. So that was really cool. So he's just a really good guy. I look forward to having him be part of the family. And it's all good.
Wait, nice. Question.
It's all good.
Had he not done all of that, what would you have thought of him?
I don't think I would have thought of him less, because sometimes, you know, the way you're raised or some of the things you think, we're not, you know, we're imperfect all the way through till God calls us, we're imperfect, and he's a young man,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have expected him to do that in kind of today's culture, but I think part of it is just that his parents have raised him that way. Part of it is just him and learning things on his own, and I probably surmise that my daughter had something to do with it as well. This is kind of like
Oh, she encouraged him. She goes, "You need to go talk to Dad." First.
Well,
it's
funny because
and good for Asia.
No, no, she. Yeah. She when it's funny because he calls me Mr. Fernandez because she said, "What do I call your dad?" Wow. She goes, "Well, Mr. Fernandez." So
he's pressing the right buttons. Well, I think she said, "If you want the prenup, don't ask my. But if you want no prenup, go ask my dad."
But you know,
the process
but you know that
this.
His wife Lisa also calls him Mr. Fernandez.
Yes.
Hey, that's
on date night. That's another thing.
That's a date night. Random yeah. Come yeah. on now.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Mr. Fernandez.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there, but yeah. It is cool.
It's cool.
No, but so it's funny. So after we spoke and I did give him my blessing and this and that, I said, well, we probably have to come up with a different name. I don't think you need to call me Mr. Fernandez anymore since
Mr. P.
So he said, what is Candace, who's my daughter-in-law, what does she call you? And I said, she calls me Pops. And he just kind of thinks about
it. No, she calls you sir.
She dropped the sir and now calls me Pops.
Sir Pops. Been
married for 8 years. The first 4 years they were married was sir. No. So it's funny, he tried like a little trial balloon. So it was like 2 weeks later, we were having dinner or somewhere, where maybe at Jarrell's house. And then I was saying bye to him and he kind of gives me a hug. And I give him a hug. I said, okay, I'll see you later. And he whispers in my ear, okay. Pops. So that was kind of cute. So that's a good guy, really.
Was it a big, lavish proposal or big elaborate deal? Or
yeah, he really. I think he rented a helicopter.
Oh man!
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, and then I think they went to Malibu and he proposed there with champagne or something. He said he was really nervous the whole day, but it was really.
So there was a chance she would have said yes or no.
There was no chance she would have said no.
No chance.
No chance. No chance. No.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
No chance.
Well, congratulations to Asia and
Zach.
Name is Zach. Congratulations to Zach and Asia. Yeah. Make sure Zach listens. He can get some good advice from
you. Yeah, we got to hit 1,000. Yeah.
Just hit replay over and over.
We got to get listeners any way we can. So
bribe them. You want to be part of the family?
You got to listen. You got to listen.
Good portion is
Joe, Robert, anything happen in your world this week that you want to talk about?
I was really excited yesterday. One of my co-leaders for a men's group, he had a birthday, and he actually decided, in lieu of spending time with his family, to come spend time with the guys. And so that was really cool. And instead of having a normal devotion like we normally would, just for, you know, speaking the word and just speaking truth, and what we did was we decided to grab a verse, each one of us, and apply that to what we thought that he meant to us in that way, and like words of encouragement. And we just went around the room and just spent that time together to be able to just have that moment to say, you know, this is what you mean to us. And you know, he's just such an inspiration. Mm. If you're listening to this, Fernando, we want that other listener. That was a really cool time. And then just to see the guys, like, kind of just circle around and just really get behind it all. It was really exciting for me to just watch that whole scenario go down and just be a part of it. So I know he really enjoyed it. You know, he didn't want anybody to know, but there were tears coming out of his eyes. Okay.
I know he's a big softie. We love Fernando. Mm. And man, wow, that's such a powerful thing when you can affirm someone, but not only just say, here's what I think about you, but here's scriptural truth that helps me remember you. I mean, like, that's
a great idea.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's great. That's the picture of a Christ-centered community, which is what our show is about today. We're going to be interviewing Joe about that power of living in Christ-centered community and how it's shaped and informed everything that he does. And so thanks for sharing that. And Robert, you guys good over there?
Yeah, no,
in,
I just...
Burbank?
Well, my son surprised me the other day because he asked me to go to a teacher-parents conference, and I said, what was that all about? Because the back-to-school night was over, and come to find out that he got into a GATE program. It's like a magnet class, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's like for gifted and talented. I don't know what the E stands for. But
it's you know, the people that have unique abilities, unique powers. It's like a doctor. This is doctor with bald head who rides around in a wheelchair. I think he...
Dr. Strange.
No, not that guy.
Dr. Professor Strange.
Yeah, Professor X. He rides around and he trains them how to use their powers.
Well, you know, maybe I should make that analogy to him so that he...
He's an X-Men. All right.
Yeah, he'll be more motivated to get on it. He surprised me because, you know, he usually just takes it easy, does his homework the last evening before it's due to get turned in. And he made it to the class, and I'm so proud of him. And I told him, hey, buddy, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Yeah.
And,
awesome.
you know, I'm just so proud of you.
Well, what's his name? Let's give him a
shout. Jared.
Jared, we're proud of you.
Jared, fourth grade?
Fourth grade.
Awesome.
All right. And he's doing pre-algebra. My gosh.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, keep up the good work, Jared.
Doogie Howser.
I know Jared listens because you have...
There you go.
We have to drive up our listeners. So
Jared, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And girly.
Free child labor.
Right on.
Press replay.
Well, nothing exciting in my life except... that I was at the gym this week. I know, that's a big deal because I don't make it very often. But I was at the gym recently and I'm working out and I see a guy out of the corner of my eye. Don't laugh. I see a guy
in the locker room. In the sauna.
That's another show for another day. But I see a guy that looks familiar, and you know, you're thinking like, where do I know this guy from? Do I know him from CA? No, like I think I've seen him on TV.
Wink, wink.
I think I've seen him on TV. Now I have to tell you guys, I don't go to like the fancy, you know, gyms like George does, where he pays, you know, like $300 a month for personal coaching.
Where's my gym? You've been to my gym. Look, where's my gym?
The Speedo episode was last time.
Where's my
so
gym?
Let's not get back.
You've been to my gym.
You go to the Equinox with personal coaching.
No, and you know my gym.
No, he's got a garage gym. But I go to the Fitness 19. It's literally down the street from CA. I pay $10 a month. So it's not like a fancy gym. I don't believe in fancy gym. But anyway, this guy's working out. And I finally put it together. He was I put it together. He looked very familiar to the guy who was a singer for this band Imagine Dragons. Now, I've got two boys. They love this kind of music. And I listen to them when I'm working out. So I like, it's kind of good music to get you pumped up, you know? He'll pump you up. And
all right, we're here to pump you up.
There you go. So I, after like... 30 minutes of checking this dude out.
Hold on, Robert just gave me a blue pill.
Well, you know, Marvin is talking about the gym.
Joe has a guy in the corner of his eye.
Why do three guys have blue pills?
He's trying to figure out what this guy wants from him. He's
Speedos
looking back.
And Robert's taking out the blue pills.
Fernandez.
They're like, they're like candy to you, huh?
The whole Mr. Fernandez.
All right. So,
sorry. Imagine
so after 30 minutes of checking this guy out, okay. I finally work up the courage to go over to him, and I said, "You probably get this a lot, but you look like the guy who sings for Imagine Dragons." And he looked at me and he goes, "That's me." And then I'm like, I didn't know what to say next.
I'm a groupie.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But how do you know he's saying the truth?
I don't know.
You could have been.
He looked like him.
Thank you for your music.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even say that. I got tongue-tied.
Invite him to the church.
I thought about that.
No, forget church. This is a podcast.
I thought about that afterwards. I'm like, man, I should have invited him to CA. I just couldn't think of what to say in that moment.
We got a big billboard too.
You guys ever
read the book?
You guys ever bump into celebrities and get all groupy?
I've met a couple celebrities and I try not to be about it, so I kind of just stay away from it. But there's just been some times where we just crossed over and just like, oh, I gotta go say hi. And when I get there, it's kind of refreshing to see that the guys that at least the ones that I've met, they come out and they say, well, what's your name? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm Joe. And then they go handshake and everything. I'm kind of like, wow. And it's like, you know, I really respect what you do. I like your work, etc. So thank you. You know, it's for you guys like that I do it.
Yeah.
And that kind of changed my whole perspective.
Who was that?
I forget his name, but he was on. The Sons of Anarchy, he was the Mayan leader.
Okay.
He was right over here at the Eagle Rock. What is it? Chuck E. Cheese. And then also...
So the moral of the story is celebrities hang out at this Eagle Rock Mall. Because they're at the Fitness 19 gym. They're at the Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. With his
and probably the Filipino market. You bump into all kinds of Filipino celebrities, right?
No, we do
not. No, okay.
Stay away from there.
The Jollibee, no?
Stay away from there.
The only Filipino celebrity we know is Robert.
Yeah, why not? What's your name?
Well, anyway, I told my boys, I met Imagine Dragons, dude. I don't even know his name. And my son's like, you should have got an autograph. I'm like, what are you going to do? Have him sign my shorts?
Speedo.
My Speedo.
Have a song, Imagine the Dragons.
No, it's not Imagine the Dragons.
Imagine Dragons.
It's not the Magic Dragon.
Pop the Magic Dragon.
Oh, whoa.
Seriously, dude. Imagine Dragons.
All right. We got to get to the news report here.
If you're a fan.
I am a fan.
One song.
I thought that was the news. Radioactive.
Radioactive. Great song.
Okay. I like that song. It's good workout songs. Hey, so what's happening in the world of the news here, Jorge?
Well, what?
What?
Pop the magic Pop dragon. The magic.
What kind of a transition is that?
None. It's terrible. It's like right. It's like a gear shift out of a 72 Corolla. What? I don't know. It's a Datsun. I don't know. It's a terrible transition.
Yes, it is.
But we're moving along. Actually,
I just thought about it today. Market is up today. And the only reason I bring that up is that I want to encourage those of you that are invested in the market, which hopefully most of you are, try not to listen to all the constant, what I call noise, that the market is going up and down constantly on a daily basis based on tweets and news, and really not much of the economics in our country has changed much. So for example, last week, or the last 2 weeks, I think the market was down, the Dow was down, I think about 800 points. Mm-hmm. It's basically back to where it was. Yesterday, I think it was down, or 2 days ago, it was down 300, then back up. Today it's up 450. So my point is, and I'm listening, I think next month I was invited to listen to someone speak, an economist, and her thoughts are something that I agree with, that if you're an investor, stay long, meaning don't get in and out of the market. If you hold positions that you feel comfortable with and you've researched, don't let the ebbs and flows of the market dictate your investments.
Hmm. Fair enough. That's good. That's good advice and good reminders for those of us that anxiety, panic attacks, and we want to sell off or buy off or whatever we do. So, thanks.
What do you call it?
Sell off.
What's the other one?
Buy off and sell off.
I don't know.
Is that like the Corolla shift or whatever?
That's a buy-off.
I don't know nothing.
What is a buy-off?
It goes along with NARC. And,
hey, honey, I want a buy-off.
I do the sports, you do the news, the finances. That's why we do this like this, all right? I know nothing about that.
And then we have Imagine the Dragon.
Pop the Magic Dragon over there. Sports report. Today is the kickoff to NFL. I'm not a huge football guy, but you guys excited about games? Like, we have games Thursday night, we have games Sunday, we have games Monday. I mean, it's like too much football, guys. So Joe's excited.
Oh, I'm super excited.
Yeah, what was your team, Joe?
I'm a New York Giants fan.
All right.
Very rare for me.
They got a chance this year? No.
They probably don't have a chance this year, but I don't like the LA teams, like with the Los Angeles Rams. They left. It's kind of like a jilted girlfriend thing. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, same thing. Kind of like, you can't come back, so, you know.
Chargers don't feel like an LA team, right?
I can get behind them.
But both of those teams are going to be good this year.
Unfortunately. Jilted girlfriend, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams made some, they signed their quarterback to a pretty hefty deal, right? Yeah. Deal, and then Ezekiel's back in Dallas, so. All right, we're ready to kick off the season, so if you guys like football, then go watch it. But what I really want to talk about is
the
Lakers.
Great transition.
Yes.
Again.
This, you know what?
If you like
that,
it,
I'm all
you
about
can have it.
That was a great buy-off.
Because in the world of the Lakers, some really fun things happened this week. One.
Who did they just sign?
LeBron James.
Howard the Duck.
Well, let me tell you.
Sorry.
We'll get to Howard. We'll get to Howard. But I read a story where LeBron James wants to trademark the phrase Taco Tuesday. Now, listen, I'm a Laker fan, but this crosses the line, LeBron.
You love LeBron.
I do love LeBron. I do love LeBron. I'm a Kobe guy, you know this. I'm a Magic guy, you know this. I accept LeBron because he's part of my team. But how can you trademark Taco Tuesday? Like, I feel like we've had Taco Tuesdays since forever. Tuesdays were invented. How can you claim that you own that?
What is
he thinking?
I think it was actually trademarked by a restaurant many, many years ago.
So how can he just show up to L.A. and all these Hispanic people in L.A. and say, okay, Taco Tuesday.
That's LeBron.
That's LeBron?
That's LeBron.
Yeah, all right. All right, Celtic fan.
I don't know. If they home the championship, there won't be much pushback.
Well, I think it's part of the Taco Bell promotion that the Lakers have. Like, we want tacos. No?
I don't know. I think it's never mind.
But in bigger news though, or literally bigger, they signed Dwight Howard this week. Well, I mean, listen. Who's available? Like, you need to replace DeMarcus Cousins. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play that much at the center position, so you need to get a body in there. I mean, who else are you gonna get? Right.
He's a body.
He came out yesterday. I was watching SportsCenter,
He lost 40 pounds. He's come into camp at weighing 240. He was weighing 285 before last year. He's weighing 240. He looks trim, and he looks motivated. And he says something about he hit rock bottom, and he's blessed, and he's getting ready to play. I mean, what do you guys buy this? You guys take what he's selling? You guys buy off here?
We're pastors, right? So we have to buy redemption.
No, you don't.
Come on, man.
Pastors, somebody says,
look, I hit rock bottom. I'm turning my life around. I lost this much pounds. Give me another chance.
But hasn't he said this every stop? Like, he said this in Houston. He said this in Charlotte. He said this the last time he was in L.A. Don't you feel like you've heard this story before from Dwight Howard?
I'd say prove it to me.
Yeah, right?
Well, that's what he's doing, right? No guaranteed contract.
Well, but the expectations for me anyway, and I think for a lot of Laker fans, are super low. Like, if he gives you 10 and 10, I'll take it. Right? If he gives you, you know, 15, 20 minutes and gives you a double-double.
Consider your... Not to trash heap, but I mean, there's not a lot of centers left.
No, there isn't. That's what's
in Marcus. So your expectations are very, very, very low, as it should be, because if you're good, you'd be on a team.
Yeah. And if he can, and this is something he's never done, but if he can focus on playing defense, rebounding, and just playing within the team system, then...
Well, at one point, he was great in terms of defense and rebounding.
Three-time defensive player of the year. Yeah. I mean, he's not.
That was a long time ago.
Well, also, he's not the only talent there. So, most of the teams that he joined, he was like the major star. This team here, he's just part of the whole crew
He wasn't that way in Houston with Harden. And
last few stops, he just couldn't buy in.
No.
Because Davis can clearly play center as well.
That's what I was going to say. You have LeBron, you have Davis, who are clearly, and he needs to recognize this, you know, in a different stratosphere than him. So if he accepts his role, back up to JaVale McGee, it might be okay.
Who got robbed?
I mean, that's what it is, right?
He lost a string. He got robbed at home. I mean, come on, dude. You make millions. You don't have an alarm system.
These guys do, but celebrity celebrity homes get broken into all the time. They have security systems. They have all of that. But I mean, these guys target their homes.
They need more buy-off.
Dude, they found...
Let's get the narc involved.
Robert, what's happening at Christian Assembly this week?
Great transition from Dwight Howard to Christian Assembly. There we go. As you guys know, we will be having our men's gathering, fall gathering. And it's the last gathering of the season. And we have...
Although it's not Taco Tuesday, it's going to be Wednesday. It's not Taco Tuesday.
We're still going to have taco.
Can't say it.
We're still going to have taco.
Do I have to pay LeBron James like a penny every time I say Taco Tuesday now?
September 11, guys. Be here early. Dinner's on us. We will have...
What's early?
5:30. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, there won't be a line. There's going to have, what, three stations? Taco stations?
Three different taco stations.
Wow.
What are the three options?
I don't know.
Robert,
you set this up?
You're doing the announcement. Let's go.
Wait. I'm just going to guess. Asada.
Yes.
Carnitas.
Nope.
Pastor.
It has to be Pastor.
Yeah. Pastor.
You have to have Al Pastor.
For pastors.
And pollo.
You got it. But we have rice, beans, horchata, all of us.
Horchata? Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Be there on time. That's a drink.
Huh?
That's the drink?
That's a drink, yeah. It's not a woman.
Mr. Fernandez, refrain from...
I don't know what horchata is.
Horchata
is here. Is here to see you? Horchata?
You Cubans.
You're taking away from the Thunder of Men's Gathering
men's
here.
Men's Gathering, September 11th.
September 11th,
this Wednesday here. Coming up.
Be here. And
we're excited.
Go ahead. Bless this weekend.
Yeah. Well, what's happening this weekend?
Oh, we're kicking off Tom's new series on Down to Earth. Marvin, thanks for bringing the book.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
If you guys haven't seen the billboard, it's up there on the Colorado Boulevard.
Yep. And you're holding an advanced copy of Tom's book. Have you got a chance to read it yet?
Parts of it.
What do you think?
It's awesome. I mean, you know, puts a new twist to a lot. Well, it's not a new twist, but it enlightens it even more on the parables of Jesus.
Yeah, so he basically, Tom goes through several of Jesus' stories, parables, and he breaks them down where they're understandable. A lot of these parables have been misinterpreted, and so Tom gives you like the real meaning behind these parables and really unlocked a lot of truth. And I've read many of these parables, well, all of these parables in the past, but I reread them in a whole new light after reading Tom's book. So I'm super excited.
Shout out to Tom.
Everyone that comes this weekend will receive a free copy of the book, and then we'll launch into the series. So guys, come this weekend, get the copy of the book. And if for some reason you can't be here, we'll have copies at the men's gathering on Wednesday, so you can always ask us for one then as well. But make sure you get a copy of the book, start reading it. It's a great book, and as you get it, if you could go on Amazon and, you know, drop Tom a line or two and just give him a review, that'd be super helpful. Great. Well, we're going to transition with the last 15 minutes of our time to talking to Joe. So we brought Joe in. Thanks for being here this morning, Joe.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no problem, man. We brought Joe in because we really want to focus on the power and the strength of living in Christ-centered community. And you already kind of talked about that a little bit with your birthday celebration with Fernando last night. But just tell us a little bit about who you are. You know, Joe's not on our staff. He's just a member of our church. Tell us about who you are, what you do for a living, and just kind of give us a, you know, a little 30-second bio of your life.
Yeah, so my name is Joe, and I went to a private Christian school most of my life and, you know, had a falling out and kind of went away at Exodus and for many years. And then it took a circumstance beyond my control that brought me back and broke me, and it brought me back to church. And so in coming back to church, it was something that was really important to be able to have that awareness of what it exactly that I was missing all this time and searching for things, you know, alcoholism, drugs, those types of things, and just to be able to turn away from them and find something that that technically I needed and something that everybody needs. So that just making that transformation and turnaround just made a huge difference in my life, and I'm just thankful obviously for CA and the rest of the guys and the staff who's just been great and just supporting me throughout the entirety of the time. And I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. So I just really appreciate that.
Great. So, and take it a step back, just to tell us, you know, like what you do for a living and your family situation and all that kind of stuff.
Right now I'm going through a separation. It's not fun, but we are going through that. So custody, etc. And it's not fun, but I currently work with a buddy of mine, a brother. He comes to work here at a phone shop, who repairs phones, things like that.
So. Okay. So that's currently where I'm at. Anybody that needs technical help, you're the techie guy.
Anybody that needs technical help, my actual real skill set falls though with online marketing and doing websites and things like that. So if anybody needs that, if they can hear it, if I can drop a line, that'd be great.
Yeah, cool. If you want to connect, seriously, if you want to connect to Joe, send us an email and I can definitely forward your information to him. But Joe, so you mentioned, you know, the power, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing about your separation. I know that that's not an easy time, but even then, tell us how being a part of your small group, your men's group, has helped you during this difficult time in your life.
Well, before you answer that, Joe, I just want to kind of hear how you got plugged into CA and how that journey started for you.
Good question, Robert.
That was really like the moment when I could just, well, now looking back, I didn't know what was going on at the moment, but when I look back on it, I can really see the hand of God just moving it. The moment that really broke me was just finding out that my wife no longer loved me, and that was almost 3 years ago. And just going through that, for being together for so many years, just going through that just kind of broke me down. And I started to remember, for some odd reason, one day, and as I'm just bawling, my eyes just rolling, you know, tears in my eyes, and I'm remembering Focus on the Family. Mm-hmm. And I just go and I start listening to this ministry, this podcast. And as I started listening, I'm just like, I gotta get back to church. And I used to come to CA back in 97, 98. We used to have a basketball team. We had a championship.
Wow.
That was
really
cool. That was really good. We won two times. It was awesome.
Who did you play though?
A lot of churches around here. Okay. There was, I think it was in La Crescenta, the La Crescenta High School. We played up there, and we played in Pasadena. It was like 97, 98.
Right. So. CA Celtics.
I'm sure Dwight Howard was on that team.
He's blessed. Yeah. So yeah, so I started listening. I come back and you know, as the pieces were moved, it just so happened that I came back, and then I see a notice about being an intern, and so I just felt like God stirring my heart to go be an intern. So I was going to 1115 North, which obviously Pastor Robert is the pastor for. So So I went to go meet with him. And so we have a conversation, had an interview, we talked for 40-50 minutes. You know, he was very empathetic, he was very, you know, cordial with me. And
wait, this Robert?
This Robert,
the guy that's
yes.
here? Okay. I'm sure. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same guy.
Same guy. So You know, he goes and he says, you know, I got something better for you than the internship. I think in your point in your life, you need to get into a huddle. So he got me into a huddle. And so we went to the huddle for 9 months. And in conjunction with the huddle, I was also plugged into a life group. And the life group, that the reason why I picked that life group was because of the name. And the name was Be Real. And in that moment in my life, there wasn't anything that was more important than being real. Right. I didn't need, you know the world with the fakeness and their falseness and the things telling me all this nonsense and, you know, this just garbage in my ears. I said, no, I needed to be real. And I went into it, and it was, you know, the gentlemen there were like 20, 25 years older than me. But everybody, when I got in there, I remember distinctly the first time I got there, it was at one of the gentlemen's house. And he just went and you know, we just started talking, and I just broke down. And I just shared my heart. And when I did, it was like, you know, they were very nurturing. They were very caring. They just grabbed me and held me and just like that. And so being a part of that life group and having them pour into me in that way, in that most vulnerable time of my life, that was so super, super important for me to get into that. So having that and then going through the huddle in conjunction with that really pushed me to have spiritual growth and understand the true need for fellowship, the need for community. And because without that, it's, you know, we're isolated, we're on an island, and, you know, we go through this society where, as men, society dictates we're supposed to be a last action hero, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or, you know, everything we're supposed to do in and of ourselves. We can't cry, we can't show our emotions, we have to carry lift everything, and it doesn't matter if it hurts, we just take it on and we bear the burn of it. And, you know, in going through the huddle and going with these life groups, it just changed my perspective about how necessary it was for us to lock arms and just be a part of each other and just uplift each other and be encouraging. So
that's awesome, Joe. That's really good, Joe. And there's guys that are going to be listening to this, and maybe they have no guys around them. Maybe this is it. Like, listening to this podcast, and they're like, oh, I hear how these guys are laughing and having a good time. I crave that kind of connection and intimacy. So tell us about some of the things that you do in Life Group. What is your structure like, and how do you get to those places where you're able to be vulnerable with your friends?
To be vulnerable, you know, I just kind of believe it really just takes time. It just takes time and being together and just being a part of each other. And there's some times when a certain circumstance might be overweighing some person, and, you know, you kind of have to cater to that. And just that whole structure, we kind of try it. Allow the Holy Spirit to have its presence and allow it to push where we need to go. We usually start out with prayer with regards to starting it. And obviously, like how you guys heard earlier on right now, everybody laughing, that's kind of like the beginning of the life group, you know, for 15 or so minutes, you know, it was minus the conversation about Speedos. But
wait, Fernando doesn't wear Speedos?
No comment.
Or horchata?
So we open up with prayer, and then from there we usually rotate the devos, and we really get into the word, and we start speaking about it. We read it, and then once we read it, then, you know, everybody kind of has their take on it. Well, what do you see in this? How does this impact you? Or is there anything that the Lord is highlighting for you in there? And then we go ahead and we go in depth and kind of break it down and just have discussions in that way. And then once that's over, then we'll go ahead and we'll go into prayer. And that's usually the most powerful time, because in prayer, that's just where things start really happening. And, you know, we really try to be as real as possible, be as honest and vulnerable. And I've learned that it really requires, as one of the co-leaders and myself and Fernando, it really requires me to be the most vulnerable version of myself as well. And in doing so, it helps open up, be like, you know, that there's a guy that I really, it looks like he has everything together on the outside. It looks like his life is just straightened out and straightforward. But on the inside, he's going through the same struggles and problems that I am. So maybe I have that opportunity that I can open my mouth and I can share. And I'm not going to be judged. I'm in a safe place where people are going to love on me and share the love of Christ with me and just encourage me towards a better spiritual growth and on a path that will lead you to more hope and not tough.
Yeah,
that's good.
There's a certain, I think you alluded to it, there's a certain stigma in society that men should pull themselves up by their bootstraps and do this life alone. And so a lot of guys were groomed that way, were raised that way. What would you say to a guy who's, you know, living that kind of way right now? He'll come to church on Sunday and is obviously listening to us in his car, but he doesn't have anybody around him. Like, what were some first steps they can start taking towards getting to that place where you're at?
the first thing I would try to do is just try to get plugged in with a life group or just that.
And how would they go about doing that?
They could go on the website. There's a website they have at CA Church. I believe it's Life Groups, isn't it? Yep. So if you go on there and you can take a look and find something in your area, find somewhere where it's close by that you don't have an excuse, well, this is why I'm not going to go because it's too far, traffic, or things like that. No, but then just start connecting with people and just start sharing yourself with them. Or even if you don't, maybe if you're an introvert, just go and listen and just hear what's going on in other people's lives. Because yeah. I know the initial aspect, I thought I was like, when I first came back to church, was like, oh, all these guys here, they have everything together, everything looks great, they're all smiling, they got beautiful families, and everything's all lined up, and I'm over here with all these problems and baggage, I really don't belong here. And that was the first lie that I thought I first came in. Mm-hmm. And then when I got placed in the huddle, and you spent those 5 minutes for each person basically sharing their lives and sharing their hearts and their bios and just having those moments to be able to really kind of have like a little magnifying glass into that person's life, and then to be able to recognize, wow, these guys aren't that perfect after all. These guys have the same problems, have the same struggles that I do. And because of that, it builds that bond and uniqueness, because there's some kind of weird isolation when you feel like, oh, I'm the only one who going through this. And you know, somebody else is going to judge me if I share that with them, or nobody else is interested in my problems. And those are all just lies. And you know, if you could just get past that deception initially and then just kind of put yourself out there, take the first step forward, I'm sure that from all the life groups that we have out there, all the leaders have been well-trained and you know, they have the love of God in them. And they're just going to be able to warmly embrace you and just pull you in like they did with me and nurture you up. And that's the kind of environment that I, myself and Fernando really like to place for the life group. Just have that welcoming, warming environment that just welcomes everybody, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances they're going through in their life, just that we could be a part of sharing God's love with them.
Yeah. And I've seen how you and Fernando, now that you guys co-lead this group, have what seems to be like just a really special bond between the two of you. Tell me about that brotherhood that you guys have formed and how that started.
That's actually a really, really awesome story. We met, the first time I ever met him was actually at the huddle, the first day of the huddle. And when he walked in, he was just having this guy who was just this big character, big teddy bear, big loving guy, just like, yeah. And I just thought, wow, that's great. It would be great if I knew somebody like that. Mm. And all my life, I've never had anybody that, a man that I could look up to in the Christian way. Like, you know, he was solid. He had foundation, all his alignment. You know, he was a good father, good husband, all those things. And just never had that. And I started praying for that. I just started praying for a man that could come behind me, that could be like my thing. So like when I was going to the other men's group, everybody was, you know, 70, 65, and I was like, oh God, is this the guy? You know, and I'm just waiting for that guy just to come. And it just, every time it was kind of like, no, that's not him. And no, that's not him. And, oh, boy, and yeah. So it just so happened that coincidentally, when we had our first little small group within the huddle, that he was in my group. Mm-hmm. It was me, Harry, nice. And Gabe. And so we met about a block right here. What used to be the top coffee table, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so we were there, and my mom's house is right behind it. And so I shared, because that was like during the moments when the times were really difficult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just shared my heart. And he was just so, so just caring and just loving. And he was just right there. And so afterwards, you know, everybody kind of left. And then I went outside with him. And in that moment, you know, I'm just hearing his heart and just how he's talking and just, you know, speaking scripture and verse after verse, and I'm going back quoting verse, and it was just like, whoa, all of a sudden it's just like this connection. And then in my heart I says, man, I can't wait. And this is, mind you, this is just like out of the blue. I'm just like, I can't wait until one moment where we get to do ministry together. And I said that in advance, not knowing that we had this life group that was going to have ministry possibilities of doing it. And now, when, like, one of the things that I mentioned for him yesterday for his birthday, just said, you know, I feel like Jonathan and David, that, you know, our souls are knit together, because he's that guy that he's my rock. He's a guy I look up to with regards to, you know, how you should be living your life and when walking and following in Christ. And so I look to him for everything, and he's just my guy. And I, you know, I love him to death, and there ain't nothing that could break that bond anymore. So, because God put it together. Yep. So I appreciate that.
That's great,
so
Joe. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. You know, there's a sociologist named Joseph Myers, and he talks about that human beings crave connection on different levels, and he called it the spaces of belonging. Mm-hmm. One of those spaces is a public space, like a big gathering. So like when we come to CA on the weekends, that's a big public space. And that's an important level of connection, right? We want to connect, we want to worship together. But all we do to connect with people during that space is really just kind of greet each other and, you know, things like that. So we need a more smaller space, and then they're called social spaces, and, and that could be like, you know, a larger group gathering, like our men's gathering, for example. You know, 300-400 guys in a room, smaller than the big public meeting, but it's still very big, and you're still going to have a harder time connecting. You know, we come to our dinner at 5:30, you might meet some guys around the table, have some tacos with them. It gives you a chance to get guys to know a little bit better, but that's still not enough. You need to get to a more intimate space, right? And so to in order to get to the more intimate space, you gotta be intentional about getting yourself surrounded with 10 guys. You know, Jesus did that. He had 12 guys around him. But in even those 12, he had the three, right? That was just a more intimate. So what you're describing with Fernando is you getting to that place. And we can get people into groups of like, you know, 8 to 10, but then God does something beautiful, and there's always going to be one or two others that you kind of resonate with. And that's just God bringing people together. When you experience connection at each of those levels, I think you're most fulfilled as a human being, and that's your most, and that's the way God wired you to be, and that's the way His nature is for us. So, well, Joe, thanks for sharing, guys. If you're out there alone, don't do it alone. If you're struggling to find a place of connection, and you're a part of our church, like Joe said, take those first steps. Connect with someone at the men's gathering. Talk to George, Robert, myself. Talk to Joe if you can find him. And just ask us how to get connected. We'd be happy to get you plugged in to some real guys around Christian Assembly. And it's difficult, right, Joe? I mean, there's going to be messiness as part of being a group.
Absolutely. It has their learning curves, but it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth it. And that's that's the bottom line, is that the pros far outweigh any of the cons. And yes, you're going to have to be vulnerable, and yes, you're going to have to share some real stuff. But like Joe said, do it at your pace. If you just want to come and listen, come and listen.
Take small steps.
Yeah, take some small steps.
Come and visit.
Come and visit. Be a part of community. And so maybe for you, the first small step is to come to the men's gathering and to come early to have tacos and to be intentional about connecting with some guys and then join a group from there. So, Joe, I appreciate you spending an hour with us and being with us this morning.
Thanks for coming, Joe.
Yeah, thank you for the
invitation. So love hearing your story. God bless you. We'll be praying for you and your family. And guys, see you on this weekend for our services, but really looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday, September 11th for our men's gathering at 7 o'clock. And then we'll be back on this podcast. Hopefully our producer, Pee-Pee, will be ready to go.
It's not a producer, Pee-Pee. It's just Pee-Pee.
Maybe I'll bring donuts.
You might bring donuts.
Maybe.
Until next time, guys. See you then.
God bless,
bye,
guys.
Bye.